From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. In 2019, an elementary school principal in Juneau got two restraining orders against a man who was stalking her. That man is now running for a seat on Juneau's school board. And his description of how he landed in court for stalking is not the story that the court records tell. Ivan Bailey is one of eight candidates for a seat on Juneau's school board. He says he's running to be a political-free, data-driven voice in local education policy. Two Juneau women say he harassed and stalked them in 2019. One, Brenda Edwards, was granted stalking protective orders against him twice. Edwards was the principal of Saik Gastineau Community School at the time, and Bailey had a nephew that attended that elementary school. When first asked to explain the orders, he said he didn't want to rehash the whole thing, but he described them as a direct result of his attempts to talk to school staff about his nephews. Their dad was having trouble caring for them.
He was homeless, and they were facing shelter and food insecurities. They were children in transition. And that's how the initial order came about, why I was banned from the schools.
Bailey says he knows it's jarring to see those restraining orders in his background.
They were not domestic violence related. They weren't, there wasn't any violence. There wasn't any sexual coercion. There wasn't any of those things that you normally associate with domestic violence and stalking.
Stalking in Alaska is a very specific type of restraining order. It's one where someone who isn't a member of your household has non-consensual contact with you. And because of that contact, you fear physical injury or death. But Bailey says that what the court decided was stalking was actually the result of a miscommunication.
This was an order to keep me away from communicating with the principal of the school that my nephew attended, and also to keep me away from continuing on with my attempted advocacy. This was my attempt to try to help the school, to help those children.
He says the Juneau School District struggles with race and that he and his family have direct experience with racism in the schools. Bailey is Black. He says his nephews are mixed race. And he said he thinks that's why the school district got the police involved. But it turns out that his description of how he landed in court for stalking is not accurate, or at least it's not the whole story. When Brenda Edwards went to court, she described seeing Bailey at the school in 2019. She said she was nervous because she'd suspended a son 4 years prior when he was a student, and at the time, Bailey threatened a civil rights lawsuit for discrimination. But Edwards said she thought they had a good interaction. He apologized to her for their previous conflict. But then Bailey started sending her emails, telling her that the universe was saying things to his spirit and heart. She didn't respond. He wrote two more times and sent her his phone number. She said in court documents that at this point she called the district superintendent because his emails made her uncomfortable. She sent him an email that ends with the phrase, quote, "It is my expectation that you would not email me in the future." But Bailey kept emailing her, saying he was separated from his wife, that he was a safe guy, and that he thought the world of her. There were more and more messages that she didn't respond to. He said he had feelings for her, and he called her stunning. At some point, she blocked his emails. Bailey got a call from the Juneau police informing him of the protective order. In court documents, he asks the judge not to grant it. He said he believed that Edwards filed for the order for professional reasons and not because he was stalking her. He also said he wouldn't contact her again. But a week after Edwards' first protective order expired, he sent flowers and a handwritten note to her at the school. She went to court again, and the court granted her another protective order, this time for a year. When reached again to explain why he hadn't told the entire truth about the protective orders, Bailey said he was trying to be discreet and didn't want to embarrass anyone. But he also insists that he and Edwards had romantic feelings for each other. Edwards said that she had no social, personal, romantic interactions, or relationship with Bailey. She wrote that he clearly wanted to be involved beyond her professional role and that it was clearly not mutual because she didn't respond to him. The other local woman who requested a protective order said she, too, had frequent, unwanted contact with Bailey. She said that he showed up to her job uninvited. She asked for a short-term protective order, which she got, but the judge denied a long-term order. Bailey says what he regrets the most about the whole situation is that he didn't help his brother, and he says the situation was very traumatic for his brother and his nephews. But he also wants voters to know that he believes violence against women is a real problem in Alaska.
I would say that all rates of domestic violence, violence against women, are murdering missing Indigenous women, are African-American women, or women of color, that we have a real issue in Alaska, and that we need to do more. There's so much more that we need to do, but understanding that this is real.
And for voters in this community that want to know more about his character, he said to look to the women in his family who stand by him. And of the 14 candidates for seats on the Juneau Assembly and Board of Education this year, one person has a remarkable lead in fundraising. This candidate appears to have raised more money than all of the other local candidates combined. KTOO's Jeremy Shea went through the candidate's campaign finance filings to bring us this story.
According to her latest campaign finance report, Juneau Assembly candidate Barbara Wahla Gadak Blake has raised just shy of $25,000. About half comes from Alaskans who don't live in Juneau. It includes current and former state legislators, Alaska Native leaders, Anchorage Assembly members, and a lot of former co-workers from her time in Governor Bill Walker's administration. Walker donated too. Blake says she is blessed to have a strong network. She says Walker held a fundraiser for her over Zoom early on.
We had over 40 people show up to that fundraiser, and every single one of them, they essentially just went around the room and just talked about how much they appreciated me and believed in me. I was crying like a baby through the whole process because I was overwhelmed. It was a beautiful moment.
The scale of her campaign finances is more typical of a competitive state house race than for Juneau Assembly.
You know, traditionally BIPOC people don't raise as much as white people do in these races. And then my numbers just went through the roof and I was like, well, you know, maybe you're just an exception.
Blake is Haida, Clinkett, and Atna Athabaskan. A lot of the money is going toward campaign signs. She says they've been popular, she thinks in part because of the attractive design by local artist Ricky Tagaban.
So many people are like, I want a sign. So many people want the giant signs. And I'm like, those are crazy expensive. They're almost $400 a sign. I'm sure I could have gotten it cheaper, but I really wanted to support Juneau business. And those are printed here in Juneau.
Blake has two opponents in the District 1 Assembly race, Paul Kelly and Troy White Smith. Kelly says Blake's campaign cash gives her advantage with staff, signs, and last-minute outreach. But Kelly says he may have made up for it by starting his campaign early, putting in time at events, and pounding the pavement.
However, I'm playing the long game. I've knocked on over 1,200 doors so far, and I continue to knock on doors. I think it's anyone's guess as to whether that gives her an advantage overall.
Troy White Smith is mostly self-funding his campaign. He says it's been difficult to build a team as a relative newcomer to Juneau and with a campaign focused on mental health issues. He says without the previous government experience that Blake and Kelly have, people may think he's unqualified.
You know, that's not the case at all. I mean, you've seen this all around the country of Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's not about who has the most experience or the whatever you deem are the best qualifications. It's about who has a great voice, who can listen to the people and, you know, push Juneau in a forward direction.
Many candidates for local office never intend to raise or spend more than $5,000 combined. State law says if you stay under that threshold, just file a letter saying so, and you're mostly finished with disclosures for the season. That's what all but one of the candidates for the Juneau Board of Education did. Will Jordan V. Sangster is the exception. Sangster is past due to file paperwork with the state agency that serves as the clearinghouse for campaign finances. Sangster did not respond to requests for comment and may be subject to fines. Juneau's local election is being held by mail. Ballots should have arrived in local mailboxes last week. Ballots must be dropped off or postmarked no later than October 5th. Ballots are also available in person at city vote centers through October 5th. And a quick disclosure, two members of KTOO's board of directors are among Barbara Wahla Gadak Blake's campaign donors. The board isn't involved in daily newsroom decisions. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Juneau's local election is being held by mail. Ballots should have arrived in local mailboxes last week. Ballots must be dropped off or postmarked no later than October 5th. Ballots are also available in person at city vote centers through October 5th. Alaska officials outlined plans Wednesday to help hospitals with crisis standards of care if needed amid a surge in COVID-19 cases. They also announced short-term contracts for more than 400 healthcare personnel to help relieve medical facilities with overtaxed staffs. State Health Commissioner Adam Crum signed an addendum to a public health emergency order that he says provides guidance to hospitals, care providers, and local health authorities if crisis standards of care are needed. Crisis standards of care provide guidelines for situations when healthcare providers are overwhelmed. That's the latest from the KTOO newsroom. If you're looking for more local and statewide news, you can visit us at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.